Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. A great privilege for me to talk to a man who not only has dedicated his life to great causes, but also made some great causes here in Starkville during his time at Mississippi State. Father Burke Masters joins me now. And Father, before we get too far down the rabbit hole here, the church celebrated a new pope this year, a new leader. He's an American. He's from Chicago, but he's a White Sox fan. How did you allow this to come to pass?
I don't know. I don't know how that slipped through the cracks there. The first thing I heard when he was, I've met him before he became pope, and when he was announced, you know, there was shock through Chicagoland, I mean through the world especially, but especially here. And then I heard he was a Cub fan. I thought, oh great. And I actually went on Chicago News because it was the first thing we heard. And then we got word through his brother that he said our mother was a Cub fan, but we were Sox fans. So yeah,
I thought that was just like being Episcopalian, like immediately a no to the chair.
Well, there. There's always time for conversion. Let's
So you kind of hit on my next question there. I have to assume him being from Chicago, him being, you know, a bishop and a cardinal. Had you had met him before? Do you have a group text with him where you're talking Cubs smack and he's hitting you back?
No, not yet. So where I went to high school, Providence Catholic High School in New Lenox, the Augustinians came there my senior year, and he was the provincial for the Augustinians for years. And he wasn't assigned to Providence, but he would come in and visit. And so I met him a couple times on his visits through town, and was always struck by being a really kind, good man. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us thought we'd have an American pope, let alone someone that we'd met or knew. So, but I think, you know, the Holy Spirit always knows what he's doing, and I think it's a great choice for the world and great for American Catholics.
So, as you mentioned, you went to Catholic school, as did I here in Mississippi. And so I guess my question is, you know, you're a baseball player, you come to Mississippi State to play baseball. Was becoming a priest always in the back of your mind? When did you feel the call to the priesthood?
You know, that's a good question. There's a priest that's retired in this area here in Illinois who was in Mississippi when I was a ball player. And he remembers having a conversation with me about the priesthood back then. I don't remember it. I think it was probably way in the back of my mind, but I was so focused on becoming a major league ball player that it wasn't anywhere near the forefront of my mind. So I didn't start thinking about the priesthood till I was probably 27 or 28, seriously. Mm-hmm. And then I went to seminary when I was 30. So several years after leaving Starkville, I left Starkville in 1990, entered seminary in 1997. So 7 years later.
And was that just something that, like I said, this is a story not a lot of people know. My mom was actually a nun, and she left the convent because she felt like her call was to be a mother. She did not feel that's what God was calling her to do. And then you have the other side of this where you are, you know, a ball player. You're probably just completely focused on baseball at the time. And then you feel the call to join the priesthood. Is 30 old to go into the seminary? Were you one of the older ones there?
At the time, I was probably the average, but it seems to ebb and flow, the average age. Right now, I'd say a lot of guys come out of high school and college, so 18 to 22, they start entering. But it seemed like when I was going through, the norm was about 30. And so I was dating somebody, and she invited me to go to Eucharistic Adoration. And it was in that silent prayer with the Lord that I started hearing that inner voice say, I think I'd like you to be a priest. It wasn't something that I went looking for at all. It truly is a calling because I didn't want it. But now, after being a priest for 23 years, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's, when we follow God's call, that's where we're going to find true fulfillment.
And of course, now you're also famously the chaplain of the Chicago Cubs. How does one become the chaplain of a Major League Baseball team?
So there is an organization called the Catholic Athletes for Christ, founded by Ray McKenna. People can Google that organization. Ray's role is to try to connect priests with every major league club. And he heard about my story that I was a ball player and a priest, and he thought, wow, this is perfect for, and I played briefly in the White Sox minor leagues. When he called, he said, I need a Catholic chaplain for the Chicago, and I'm thinking White Sox. And he said the Chicago Cubs. And so I was not raised a Cub fan. And so I thought I can't pass up this opportunity. So in 2013, I became the chaplain for the Cubs, been doing it for 12 years and have become a Cubs fan in the last 12 years. And just it's been a great joy. I thought I was giving up everything baseball, becoming a priest. And God has brought everything back into my life that I loved just in a different way. And it's been a great lesson of trusting God and His providence.
Did you get a World Series ring?
I did not. That's a common question. So here's the story. They had to make a dividing line, the Cubs did. So the dividing line is paid employees versus volunteers. I'm a volunteer, and so I didn't get a ring. But some of the seminarians, I was the vocation director at the time, they bought me a $15 knockoff ring online. And it looks pretty cool, but it's not real. But it gives me an opportunity. I talk to kids a lot about this, and I'll bring out the ring and they'll ooh and ah, and I'll say, well, it's not real. But I said, I got a ring for playing, in the College World Series, for, winning the SEC at Mississippi State. And they're sitting in a drawer at home collecting dust. I said, it would be cool to get a World Series ring. I'm not going to lie, but where am I going to wear it as a priest, I said, what I want is available to everybody, and that's called the crown of eternal glory. Doesn't sit in a desk drawer, doesn't collect dust. It's for all time. And so it's just an opening for a great conversation with people about eternity.
So I was told earlier today that you and Bishop Wall from the Diocese of Gallup have started a podcast. You're stepping into my world here. So I didn't take Latin in high school. What does verso la alto mean?
It means the best translation from Italian to English is to the heights. So Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was just canonized, I think September 7th or 9th, with Saint Carlo Acutis, he was a young man in Italy who loved the sports. He was an outdoorsman. He was a hiker, a skier. And his famous phrase was verso all'alto, like to the heights as they did mountain climbing. It would have had a double meaning, like the physical mountain climbing, but also we're moving toward heaven. And so what we're hoping to do with this podcast is to connect faith and sports and to encourage people to, because I grew up in such a sports-minded family. That was our God with a small g. I mean, we were Christians, but sports was first.
I understand.
What I'm hoping to do is to help people who are in that situation, and maybe even people who don't even like sports, is to kind of bring faith to a place that is in a very common area of sports, and to elevate faith and to put sports in perspective.
So, speaking as someone who may have dropped to his knees and said a Hail Mary at Davis Wade Stadium a time or two for a couple of games. We won't go into to the details. One of the
Sure.
things I always, in my own faith, get in my head is, people pray for their sports teams. I want my team to win. Is that a selfish prayer? How does the church view that? Because I feel like if that prayer is answered, somebody on the other side of the field who's praying the exact same opposite of me, their prayer is unanswered. Am I being selfish when I pray for my team to win?
So it's interesting. Bishop and I just recorded our podcast for this week, and that exact thing came up. Not in that term, but we talked about the best prayer. You know, God teaches us how to pray. Jesus says to seek, to ask, to knock, be specific, be persistent. But the ultimate prayer is, but your will be done. You know, ultimately, I don't think God cares who wins a football game.
I don't either.
And so if we can honestly pray, Lord, your will be done, we're never disappointed because whatever happens, okay, that is, it might not be what we want, but we can trust that, you know, this is what's supposed to happen. But also, I think we have to keep things in perspective that, you know, like I'm a lifelong Phillies fan, even though I grew up here in Chicago. I'm a Cubs fan, Mississippi State fan. Last week was a horrible week. The Phillies lost, the Eagles lost, the Cubs lost, Mississippi State lost. And but in my prayer, it was, okay, Lord, I have to remember this is just a game, but it's nothing compared to Verso Alto, to the heights of preparing to see God face to face.
So you're going to be in Mississippi this week. You're talking to a group in Jackson and then a group in Tupelo for Catholic Charities. It's called the Journey of Hope. Luncheon. That's going to be at the Country Club of Jackson on the 22nd, and then at St. James's Parish in Tupelo on the 23rd. So just tell us a little bit about Catholic Charities. What's their mission, and what's your role with it?
Yes, yeah, so Michael Thomas with Catholic Charities reached out, and you know, through Bishop Kopasz, and they said they wanted to have a couple of events to raise awareness and raise funds for Catholic Charities, especially to, you know, Catholic Charities. The Catholic Church serves more people than any other organization in the world. We educate more people. We take care of more people in hospitals. We serve the poor more than any organization. And so this is going to be a great opportunity for me, not only to reconnect with old friends in Mississippi, but also to raise awareness and funds for some real needs in the state of Mississippi. So I'm excited about it. So I'm actually going to be doing three talks in Jackson. In one in Hattiesburg also, and Tupelo. I know Hattiesburg is a different diocese,
That
but I
explains
know
why
that.
it's not on the email there. I was just
Yeah,
kidding.
yeah.
I was like,
I
oh
know
my God.
there'll be some great state fans down in Southern Miss area as well.
Is that the Diocese of Biloxi or is that New Orleans?
It is Biloxi,
Okay.
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but all three events are to support Catholic Charities and their amazing work for the poor.
So, if somebody wants to help Catholic Charities, is there just a website or is there more information there? And how can they, what does Catholic Charities, other than money, what does Catholic Charities need from people these days?
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to find out more about the specifics when I'm down there, but I think the, you know, they can always use financial support. And then, you know, what I love about Catholic Charities is there's very little overhead. So what you donate is going to go right to supporting the poor. So I think that's the first thing would be if people can help financially, and then they might be able to find out more on the Catholic Charities website in the Diocese of Jackson, and then also the Diocese of Biloxi. There might be other material needs that they can donate as well. But I would encourage people, and you don't have to be Catholic to come to these events and to support them. This is, you know, our common humanity is to take care of and to support those who are in need.
So let's talk a little Mississippi State, and I'll show it to you here. I have the Jim Ellis bobblehead. So anytime I want to hear, there's a high drive, you know, Grand Slam for Masters, I can just push this button right here and do that.
I have that on my desk
I would
right over there
imagine
as
you
well.
do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you ever think about legacy? Do you ever think about that as long as Mississippi State plays baseball, the name Burke Masters will be around?
You know, it's so humbling. I was talking to, we had a big Catholic man's night here at our parish last night at a couple hundred guys. And, you know, I was sharing, I was not a home run hitter,
Yeah.
but I'm known for a home run, a grand slam, which is really funny. And that's where I know it's part of God's plan that, you know, he used that moment in time that was so unique to one, I think he was telling me, enjoy this, You're not going to be able to play Major League Baseball like you want to, but I've got other plans for your life. And maybe God is using, like the title of my book now, Grand Slam for God. He used that moment now, and I'm hearing from people all over the world who are reading my book to say, wow, that this is helping me in my faith. And that's my goal. My number one goal is to help people come to know Jesus Christ and his saving and passionate love for them. And if God can use a home run back in 1990 to do that, then we're gonna use it.
So it's kind of funny that the other guy who has a similar home run, his name is Elijah, Elijah McNamee. I
Yes.
assume you've had conversations with him. What are those talks like?
We honestly have never met.
That's shocking. Wow.
We have never met. I think it might have been a quick text. Somebody connected us via text right after it happened, but we haven't been able to connect since. And so maybe at one of these alumni events, we'll be
You
able
got to
to
make that
connect.
happen. That has
We
to happen. We need a picture.
we
So.
have a lot in kind. I felt I was watching that game live, and I thought, wow, he's going to be. This is going to mark his life for the
Yeah.
rest of his life in a great way.
And the similarities, I mean, both against Florida State, walk-off home runs and just a crazy thing. I think people forget with your home run that that didn't win the regional, that they
Yeah.
come back and play the next day. And that's what I don't, you know, Bill Simmons is the sports commentator.
Yes.
He talks about like levels of losing. That's the kind of loss that you can never come back from. Florida State, there was never a chance they could win the game the next day. That's one of the things that you just can't come back from a loss like that, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, actually, truth be told, they did win the next day, and then we had to come back and win the following day. So, we were up. They had to beat us twice
Right.
after that, and they did beat us once,
Yeah.
but that it was
They
a
were never winning the
backbreaker.
series, though.
Yeah.
Never
There's
gonna happen.
a great story with that. Pedro Grifol, I don't know if you know that name. He was a manager of the White Sox when they had this terrible season a couple of years ago. And I had dinner with him, with Bishop Papraki, who's a big White Sox fan. It was the day after he got fired from the White Sox, unfortunately. But we were having a nice dinner, and I had brought a copy of my book and signed it with him, not knowing any connection. During the conversation, he said that he had played at Florida State. And I said, "When did you play at Florida State?" And he said, "89 and 91." And I thought, my goodness. So he said, 89, we made it to the College World Series. 91, we made it to the College World Series. But 1990, the NCAA made us go to Starkville, Mississippi. And I didn't say anything yet. And I said, "What do you remember about that tournament?" And he said, "I've tried to block it out of my memory." I said, "Do you remember somebody hitting a grand slam?" He's like, "Oh, yes." And I said, "Well, you can read about it in this book."
So he didn't know
What?
it was you?
He didn't know. And I didn't know he was on that team.
Yeah.
And ironically, then inside the book, there's a picture of me hitting the grand slam. He's catching, and his arm is in the picture. And he said, "I called that pitch." Dude, talk about a small world. And so I got online and looked up the box score, and there's Pete Grifol batting sixth and catching for
My
Florida
gosh.
State.
You
Yeah.
talk about God works in mysterious ways.
Crazy.
That's a great example of it right there.
Yeah, really
We'll leave.
good Catholic man though too. Good man.
We'll leave with this, Father. Just overarching memory of your time at Mississippi State. What is the one thing that stands out the most to you?
Wow. Friendship would be the number one thing. Besides the Grand Slam that everybody remembers me for, I just have such fond memories of teammates, of fans, of people that I met there. I'm so excited to come back to Mississippi every time I do to reconnect with old friends, make new friends. And again, this Grand Slam just opens the door for other ways to share the gospel with people.
I saw your itinerary. You're going to be at the Texas game. You will forgive me, Father, for I may drop a prayer in that one as well. So, but
Go
I
right
assume
ahead.
you'll be joining me in that endeavor.
Go right ahead. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. One of my best friends and teammates, Russ Mahan, will be joining me on the trip, and so it'll be great to spend time with him. And then Bo McInnes, who is one of our equipment managers who's now had a great career as a as an agent. We're gonna be watching the game with him and hopefully Coach Polk, which will be great fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad. That's one of the things I've been enjoyed the past few years is that Coach Polk has been re-embraced here, and he has done the same with Mississippi State. That was not good while he was away. So,
No, he is Mississippi State baseball,
100%.
and I too am so glad that he's been reconnected to the program.
Father Masters, this was an absolute joy. I appreciate your time today, and thank you for all that you do. And safe travels here to the state of Mississippi. And if we see each other in Starkville, I'll be happy to come by and say hello.
That'd be great. Thanks, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.